Welcome back to the VOA Global Press Freedoms Podcast. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. We have a special guest with us today, although I suppose all of our guests are special. But today's unusually so, and that's because she has a most unusual story of a particular experience in her journalism career. Yuna Lee is senior executive producer in VOA's Korean service. 10 years ago, she and her colleague, Laura Ling, were arrested by North Korean officials and taken to stand trial in Pyongyang. After 4 and a little bit more months in detention, was former President Bill Clinton able to win the release in meetings with Kim Jong-il. Yuna Lee is joining us now. We're very thankful for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
First, when did you and your colleague realize something was really terribly wrong, and how much fear was there with that experience?
It wasn't the moment that when we are apprehended by two North Korean soldiers. That's when I thought something was wrong, something went wrong. But it was 3 days later that when they moved us from the border to somewhere else, I thought, okay, this isn't, I'm not going home. I'm going further from home. Something's gonna be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we were at the border between North Korea and China to film the route that where North Koreans escape their country for freedom or any economic regions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the halfway of the river, and my producer and cameraman, he was pointing towards the North Korean side, shouted, "Soldiers." So I looked back, and there were two soldiers. They were small, in uniforms with long rifles, chasing us really fast. So we all ran towards Chinese soil,
mm-hmm.
and then we landed, and that's when we were apprehended. My colleague, Laura Ling, she fell in front of me, and I stopped. And she goes, "You know, I can't feel my legs. I couldn't leave her there alone."
Mm.
So I was standing there, didn't know what to do, drag her, what lift her. And in a second, in a flash, we were apprehended.
The soldiers were on top of you. What was it that you were there to do? I think you alluded to this. But what was the story that you were there that you were wanting to cover?
We were working on a documentary about human trafficking because North Koreans, especially for females, when they escape North Korea to China, they become a victim of human trafficking. So people will sell these people to internet sex workers or Chinese farmers' wife, and because of their condition, they can have boys or ask for help. So we wanted to shed light on those women's situation.
Sure. When the soldiers were upon you and you were taken into custody, can you just explain a little bit about what you remember, what happened then?
So when soldier apprehended me, I grabbed anything. It was the river was, it was March 17th, so a river was still frozen in that area. So we were still on the river, and soldier was trying to drag me. I wanted to get some help and screaming, and then grabbed anything that I could grab so that he couldn't drag me towards North Korea. And at some point, I felt, okay, he's not going to give up. So I told him that, okay, I'll get up. I'll walk with you. So we crossed a river, and then arrived at the point that army base?
It was like a guardhouse, or
it was an army base. There was a yard of a area that soldiers can practice.
Ah.
And it was an army base, so they had me stand there a little bit, and from there they moved us to somewhere else with a bicycle. The motorcycle looks like from World War II.
And Laura's with you at this time
yes.
as well.
Yes. And when we were moved to a different place, they put us in a different cell. That there we stayed about 3 days. With the first night, I don't think I slept more than 40 hours because right after they moved us, they went through interrogation for all night till next day.
Were you able to communicate either with each other or anyone else?
No, she was. I knew that she was right next to myself because she doesn't speak Korean. So they needed someone to communicate with her. I think they brought an English teacher around that area to translate her, but her English wasn't good enough. So they couldn't really get much information from her. So they put us next to each other.
Sure. Yeah. Before we get to what happens next, they moved you. There comes what you might term a trial. Something I have wrestled with in the language to be used discussing your experience. So let me just ask you, what is the best verb for you that you use to describe what happened? Were you detained? Were you abducted? Were you arrested? Were you kidnapped? How do you describe it?
I mean, I would just say all. I was detained because they detained me in North Korea for 140 days. I was abducted. It's because they dragged me from Chinese soil. What else was it?
Kidnapped, arrested.
Arrested. It's arrested. It's because we trespassed North Korean side for a minute.
I have to think that there were Chinese soldiers on the other end of the bridge. Why didn't they help?
There was no man. It was no man land. You do not know if it's a border, if there was no local guy with you. We had a fixer. That's how we knew that it was a border. The reason that I didn't really worry about when I was arrested at first or dragged to North Korea at first, it's because our fixer had a contact. An officer in North Korea's side.
Mm.
And he actually talked to him on the phone the day before. So I thought, okay, they captured us first and they dragged us. Maybe we can talk out of this situation. That's how I thought. And we heard many stories about journalists going to that border and talk to North Korean soldiers and smoking together, things like that. So we actually were worried. It's because we were enemy's hands. But we thought, I think we were hopeful that something we could talk out of this situation. But that was very naive.
Do you think that being two women, I know you had two other colleagues with you, but that you being women played any role in North Korean soldiers' decision to go after you and drag you back?
It was simply, I think, because we were slower. It's because one of our producers was an avid runner. He was fast. So he disappeared out of my eyes. And Laura fell, of course. She couldn't feel her legs. And I was behind her. And then just seeing my colleague in front of me, I couldn't leave her there by herself.
Right.
So that's a simple reason.
Real quick question. Did you then or do you now have any animosity or hard feelings or whatever you might describe them as for your two colleagues you described? They ran and they were faster and they got away, you know, well, instead of staying and helping.
Well, actually, I was I'm still, and then at the moment, I was glad that they got out of the situation because we had some tapes in China in our hotel that we filmed these defectors, North Korean defectors. I was really hoping that they would go to hotel right away and destroy those evidence. So I was glad that they got out of it, but it didn't happen that way. But yeah,
right. You were moved. You were put on trial. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you explain briefly what happened there, what that was like?
I wasn't aware of the jurisdiction system in North Korea. After a month of interrogation, they told me that I will go to a trial for 3 days. And they asked me if I want a lawyer. And You see, like you had a little bit of a smile on your face. That's what I was thinking too. Three days, a day before the trial, lawyer, how much he can help me. And then also, what can he do in that country that everything is controlled? So I told him that I will defend myself. So I don't want a lawyer. So I went there. And the first day, it didn't go well. They were biting me. And I just couldn't say a word. And just I was mumbling. Nothing was organized. My thoughts was crazy. And at the court, everybody was judges and prosecutor. They were so angry at me. And they were really angry at me because I am Korean born. So they thought I was the worst person in that among two of us.
How were you? You were then detained, for lack of a better word. As you say, you ended up being in North Korea for 140 days. How were you treated after you were found guilty, after the trial was over? Because you were sentenced, I believe, to, what was it, 12 years hard labor?
Yes.
What happened to you? How did they treat you?
So I'm very thankful that they did not really move us to a hard labor camp. But that was under discussion that they were, after the trial, they were really discussing that whether when they were going to move us to a labor camp. Up until the trial, interrogation was very hard. It went through Monday through Saturday, morning to about 8 hours a day. We were going through the same thing over and over and over. They wanted to know every detail about me and what we did, the work, who we met in China, and things like that, that we had, I had to really, I'm a journalist, so you protecting your source is first thing that you need to do, right? So that was very difficult. And luckily, I don't know what, somehow I couldn't really remember the details, maybe because I was in shock, but I was very thankful because what if they forced me physically, you know, harm me to say something? But I couldn't really remember the details at the time. So, and for physically, they did not, so I would say psychological better every day, but I was very thankful that I wasn't harmed physically. They fed me three times a day, very, very simple meal, Korean meal, rice, small soup with a small side vegetable dishes. Sometimes when a certain anniversaries, so I think it was their former leader's birthday, they brought a little bit better food. I lost 17 pounds there. I wasn't a big person, but I was...
You can't afford to lose 17 pounds.
Yes, but, you know, at the time, I thought about those people, their own citizens. When they're detained, they're really treated badly. I was thinking that this is 1,000 times better than how actually North Koreans are going through in a labor camp or prison.
When we started, I asked you, at what point did you realize something was terribly wrong and how much fear did you experience? On your release, at what point did you realize that you were really out of North Korea? You were really free. And what were the emotions that came with that?
Everything felt so surreal. And when we were on the plane, I called my husband. Hey, I'm on the plane. Go home. And he told me, are you in the air? No, he said, then call me when you're in the air. That's when I felt, when we left the North Korean land, I felt okay, I'm going home. And I came home and everything was so dusty, you know, a single father raising young child, 4 years old girl, for 4 months, you could imagine how dusty everywhere. So first thing I did was I cleaned the house, every corner. And that's how I felt. Okay, I'm home.
That's a remarkably normal human answer. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. Last question, and you've been generous with your time. How difficult is it for you to relate these stories? Because just sitting here, hearing what you have to say, what you remember, you don't seem to carry it with you. But how difficult must it be to look back, remember these, talk about this stuff?
I think there are certain moments that makes me still emotional and bring tears to me. For example, the day that I came home and seeing my daughter again, things like that. But I believe everything happens for reasons. And it took about 7 to 8 years for me to just get back to the normal life after that incident. And now I'm with the VOA Korean Service. We are reporting stories for people in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel everything happens for a reason.
You returned to journalism. I think that's remarkable.
Thank you.
Una Lee, thank you so much for the time today. You've been generous.
Thank you so much.
Una Lee is a senior executive producer with VOA Korean Service. Thanks so much for all of you for listening to us today. And we'll be back with you again next week, as always, with more tales from the front lines of journalism. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington, and until then, be well.